Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace as we go into our study this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you now, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to expound verses 7 through 11. And I want your attention on the screen as we've entitled this evening's message, Christ Has Called Us Righteous. Christ has called us righteous. And we're going to see in this Bible study tonight, we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, but the scriptures, I believe, are going to enlighten us, give us an understanding. For some, it's going to give you a paradigm change. And you're going to see how good God is, how wonderful the Messiah is, and what he thinks of us. Hallelujah. His redeemed, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. So are you there? Let's go now to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to expound verses 7 through 11. And the Word of God reads, "Little children, let not one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Praise God. Verse 9, "Whoever has been born of God," say that with me, "whoever has been born of God," what? "Does not sin." Praise God. Praise God. "For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Now, I want you to focus real quick. We're going to expound on verse 10. "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Now, hear me out. Have you ever been to a party, a family function, maybe a college function, or just around a group of people that you know that are unchurched? They're not born again. They're not believers. And you can tell right away through the language they use. Every now and then, you're going to get the F-bomb, the D-bomb, and all these other bombs that will come out. That's one of the things that's being manifested through their life, is they are unregenerated. And when you have an unregenerated heart, the Bible's clear. They cannot practice righteousness because they don't know God. They are still of their father, the devil. Oh, I know that hurts. I know that stings a little bit. But it's true, because Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Wow. Wow. So, my friends, as we continue with the study, I want you to look at this for a moment. The righteousness of God. We're going to look at the righteousness of God. And so, look at this, my friends. God is love. Can I get an amen? God is love. That's right. But the question was, how? Let's look at this. Here's what the question was right here. How would God deal with a creature like man, that's you and I, whose very nature was hatred and rebellion against the blessed God, who loved him even in his enmity? Wow. Did you catch that, my friends? Despite of who you and I are, isn't that something? Despite of it all, God still loves us. That's right. Saints, the law had been given to Israel for 1,500 years. It was for God's righteous rule for man, a law which brought out man's rebellious nature. And it was done in an open transgression. Now, the rest of the world had been given up to their own will and lust. They haven't given up God and His truth as set forth in His eternal power and of the Godhead. And so, let's look at this for a moment, my friends. Let's look at this. God's indictment of mankind was the wrath of God. See, we have to see what was headed to mankind before mercy and grace. See, the law is what pointed us. The law is what pointed us. Now, let's go to Romans 5:20. Let's look at this for a moment. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So in other words, there's no excuse to mankind. You can just see in our culture right now how corrupt it is. Let's go to verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise. They what? Became fools. Wow. Wow, my friends. My goodness. They became fools. Now, let's go to verse 23. Look at this. And changed the glory of the what? The corruptible God into the image like a corruptible man. Wow. Look at that, my friends. Look at that. You see? And the birds and the four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Wow, look at this, verse 26. For this reason, look at this, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. You see, this is an indictment against mankind. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust for one another with men, and men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was what? Due. Now look at verse 28. And even if they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. That means a retrobated mind, a retrobate mind. What is a retrobate mind? A mind that will not come back to God. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, strife, deceit, evil. Look at this, mindlessness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Did you catch that? Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow, that last part right there, be careful. You may not partake in these things, but by not even saying anything. And if you know friends and families that are part of this lifestyle and we keep our mouths shut, that's like approving it. We have to let them know that that type of sin will take them to a fiery hell. And we need to be the voice of God. Why? Because what God ultimately wants to do is save a wretch like me, save a wretch like you who were partakers of this at one time. And then God, by His grace and by His mercy, He saved us. He gave us a heart to repent. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb. He filled us with His Spirit, with power and anointing. Hallelujah. We desire to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're walking in the ways of God. We have left that old lifestyle behind. And now we're pushing toward the prize and the call. in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? God wants to do something radical in your life, but you have to allow God to do it. Hallelujah. You have to surrender. You got to submit. You got to press. You got to keep holding on. Hallelujah. Because ultimately, a true child of God, God will hold on to you. Praise God. Can I get an amen in the house? Now, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. Romans 5:20. Look at this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. My goodness, might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abound. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, God revealed his righteousness to King David before the New Testament was written. That's right. That's right. It was. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Look what it says here in Psalms 1. Look at this. Psalms 1:1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, say that with me at home, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall what? Prosper. Praise God. Those of you that have been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can identify that God has planted you. He is watering you. Hallelujah. With the Holy Ghost. And God has now appointed you, approved you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And now he has anointed you. That's right. Approved, appointed, and anointed. Do you have your AAA card? I do. Praise God, and it's only by God's grace. God wants to use you mightily in the days that we live in. We're living in an untoward generation. We're living in a generation that needs God. People need God in their life. There's people walking away. There's people walking away in every church. There's people that have walked away in our church. There's people that walked away in other churches. People are all walking away. Why? Because the world has a grip. The world, the flesh and the devil is luring people left and right. But I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, this is the time to rise up in faith. This is the time to say, devil, you're not going to have it again with my life. No, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to keep pressing toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have to be in this fight all together. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall stand in the judgment. What? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is what they need to know, that if they remain in their sin, they shall perish. I didn't say it. God's word says it. That's right. I know some of you may be turning off your tube right now. I don't want to hear this. Well, let me just say this. This scripture will come back to you once again. That's right. Now, let's look at this for a moment. The law alone could not save us. That's right. The law alone, it could not save us. That's right. It's just so loud and clear. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Look at this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Every one of us. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But yet God, before the foundation of the world, before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence, he already knew your name. He knew that you would be saved. Hallelujah. In the generation that we live in right now. Praise God. Look at this next scripture found in Romans. In Romans 4:15. Because the law brings about what? Wrath. You see, the law was good. The law was good. Let me tell you what. The law pointed out our sin, which drove us to the cross. That's right. We needed to have our sins exposed so that we understood the error of our ways and what we were born into. But God has a remedy. God, in his foreknowledge and his wisdom, had made a way before the foundation of the world. God already slew the Lamb of God to take away our sins. What? Praise God. Now, let's look at this. in Romans 8, 3 through 4. Let's look at this for a moment. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Our flesh is so weak. It's weak. We cannot keep the law. The Bible says if we break one law, we broke them all. Look at this. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Look at this. On account of sin, he, Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? The Spirit. Praise God. See, when you become born again, that allows us now to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me just say this. Will we be tempted? Yes. Will things come our way where we have to choose right and wrong? Yes. But the difference between us and an unsaved, unregenerated person is we have the power now, hallelujah, to be an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb. Can I get an amen in the house? That's right. We can say no to that now and yes to the Lord. Can I get an amen? An unbeliever can't say yes to the Lord. They will succumb to their flesh. The flesh is weak. We just read it. Oh, but the power of God, hallelujah, is immeasurable. There's more than enough grace, more than enough mercy, more than enough power to keep us from falling. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good. How many believe that God is so good? Come on. How many believe God is so good? Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Mankind needed a Savior. And who was it? The Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. We needed Jesus. We needed Jesus. Look what it says in Romans 5, 1 through 11. Let's read this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into his grace in which you and I stand. And rejoice, say that with me at home, and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces what? Perseverance. Look at this in verse 4. And perseverance, character. Now, I need you to see the sequence of this order, because as we're trusting God in this life, in this race to the end, hallelujah, these things we must endure, and these are things that we must learn. These are the things that we need to gravitate to. These are the things that we can know that we can be conquerors through Christ who strengthened us. Verse 4, perseverance, character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. Look at this, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, look at that, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates, say that with me. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall what? Be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through what? Through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What? Look at verse 11. And not only that, look at that. But we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What? That's right. We've been reconciled by faith. You and I, we've been reconciled by faith. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has reconciled us now into his body. God is doing a great wonder in your life. God is doing the supernatural things in your life. And all you have to do is have faith to believe that you're able to move a mountain. You have to have faith to believe that whatever you sow into the heart of an unbeliever, expect God to do and raise him up from the dead. Can I get amen? That's right. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's right. That's right. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. And that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. You got to have faith to believe that God is for us, that God is with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at this for a moment. We are never to forget our spiritual condition before Christ. We are never to forget. We are never forget to where God has brought us from. Can I get amen? Look at Titus chapter 3. Let's read this. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Look at this. For we ourselves were also once what? Here we go. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, look at this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on you and me abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, in verse 8, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain what? Good works. Praise God. God wants us to sow in His kingdom and maintain good works. He doesn't want us to backbite. He doesn't want us to stab each other in the back. He doesn't want us to slander one another. But those things take place in the church. This is why God is saying, maintain. Say that with me. Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. Now, let's look at this. Because of God's grace, we are eternally secure in Christ. What? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many believe that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're secure in Christ? Some people don't realize. Some people have come from churches where, well, man, if you backslide, you know, you're going straight to hell. Listen, God will keep you. And even if you do stray, He'll leave the 99 to go get you. That's right. Why? Because you're His. If you are eternally secure by Him, nothing's too hard for God. That's right. He may have to use some harsh means to pull you back, but He will. Oh, I've seen some people, they've gone through a whooping shed, but they realized that they were walking in air, they were walking away, and by God's grace, He wooed them back through His great love and His power. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at the Word of God in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise God. Look at this. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let me just pause there. You know, that scripture used to baffle me. How can we who are wretched in our sinful body stand before God and be holy? And yet throughout the course of a day, we have thoughts of ungodliness. We have covetousness. We lie and slander in our own mind. We get mad at someone that, man, I could have tore you up through my mouth. You know, we've been there, huh? We've been there. You see, yet in all of that sinfulness that we carry as a born-again believer, how do we stand holy before Him? It's simple. Those who truly, initially repented, came to the cross, cried out for mercy, then God demonstrated His mercy, and then He gave us the faith to turn in a heart of repentance. And then He washed us in His blood. So now when we stand, hallelujah, when God the Father looks down, He doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you have the blood of Jesus wash away your sins, now let's look at this again. Now you can stand holy without blame before Him. That's the only way. It's through the blood, hallelujah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody, come on, let's just take part. let's just go, hey, come on. Come on, we're washed in the blood. We're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You ought to shout it from the rooftop. You got to let people know that you don't have to go to hell. Those who are not saved, that God wants to do a miraculous thing in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at that. The praise and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption. There it is. As I was just preaching, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Look at this. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at that. Having made known to us the mystery. This was all a mystery to us. Of his will according to the good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in all one things in Christ. That's you and me. We are come to that generation. He has gathered now all those who would be gathered, and he's about ready to come back for his church. Look at this. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's all done for you and me. It's all done for you and me. And so let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this for a moment. That we who trusted in him should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted. You heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed. Here's the key right here. Here's the key. If you're a true child of God, you need to take this, hallelujah, and hide this in your heart, and don't let the devil ever try to blackmail you. Look at this. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Say that with me. To the praise of his glory. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at this for a moment. God's plan is very simple, my friends. It's very simple as we're coming in for a close. Look at this. We have to realize we are guilty. You have to come to God and humble yourself and say, oh God, search my heart. Look at what it says here in Romans 3, 21 through 26. It says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and all who what? Believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this. In verse 25 through 26, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a substitute. There it is. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. You and I were so wretched, hallelujah, that he forgave all of our sins, and he has cast them from the east to the west, and he remembers them no more. Praise God. To demonstrate at the present time, in verse 26, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Wow. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? So we have to acknowledge we're guilty. Praise God. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at this. Our second point right here before we close. Let's look at this. Our guilt has earned us death. That's right. It has earned us death. That's right. Look what Romans 6:23 says. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at our third principle. Christ died in our place. How many of you are so blessed to know that he died for you? He came from heaven to this earth to be wrapped in a body of flesh like you and I, but it was sinless. He had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Praise God. Praise God. So Christ died in our place. Aren't you so blessed to know that he's the one that died for us? Look at this. God's word says this in Romans chapter 5. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. Praise God. Praise God. He died for us before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb. Look what John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What? Oh my gosh, my God. Let's look at our fourth principle. We admit that we are guilty. We have to. We have to admit. We have to confess God. Can I get an amen? You see, that's where the marriage contract is, right there. Look at this in Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, right now you're listening to the preached word of God, and maybe you're not saved, but God is pricking your heart right now. Look at this, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Look at that. And with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 11-13. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Say that with me, my friends. Shall be saved. Now, let's go to number 5. We trust that Christ was punished in our place. How many believe that? He's the one that took our punishment. He's the one that nailed our sins to the cross. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? I got the word of God right here. Let's look at this. Now then, we are ambassadors, what? For Christ. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Praise God. I just quoted that because it just flowed out of me. Didn't realize that I had already written it down. You see, that's the Holy Ghost operating. That's God imputing his righteousness to our ears to let us know that we are heaven bound and there's a hell to shun now. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God saved a wretch like you and me? That God already knew the predicament. He knew where you were going to be living. He knew what state. He knew what town. He knew what time. He knew what hour. He knew what minute that you would humble yourself and cry out to him, because God quickened you to come to him. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Now, our last point here is we are declared not guilty. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Listen. We are so sinful, and yet God declares us not guilty. How does that work? It works through God's word. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What? That's right. That's right. We've been justified. Look at this. And 1 Corinthians, look at this. Or do you not know that the unrighteous, that's not you and me. These are the unbelievers, people that you and I know. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. What? That's right. God says it. If he wrote it, you better take it to the bank. There's no compromise here. I know there's some churches that have homosexual pastors now. And they are going against the law of God that we're reading right now. Look at verse 10. Nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But look at this. Here's the good news. And such were some of you. But you were washed. Say that with me. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We were once that kind of a people. We were once lost, but now we've been found. God went through the highways and byways searching out for you and I. And now God has saved us. Hallelujah. God has filled us with power, with anointing. We are able now to lay hands on the sick to watch them recover. We're able to speak the word of God, hallelujah, into someone's heart and watch God do the miraculous in their heart. God will raise them up from their dead state and give them life. He will do a Lazarus with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. God has equipped his church. God has equipped you with every spiritual gift known in the word of God. Hallelujah. That's right. Some God has given a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Some God has given a healing hand. Some God has raised up prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Praise God. God has equipped the church for such a time as this. And God is saying, enter in, enter in. Enter into the ark right now, my friends. Enter into Noah's ark. It's no different right now. You see, when Jesus comes back, and he's coming back very soon, he's going to come in the clouds, and he's going to take us home. We that are born again, filled with the spirit of promise, the spirit of God. God said that we are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is coming again. That's right. That's right. We are seeing the signs right now. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, there'll be signs of wars and rumors of wars. There'll be pestilence, which is a pandemic. There'll be earthquakes and all kinds of false messiahs and lies and spins and everything. We're seeing it right now. We're living in a generation that there's more earthquakes than ever recorded in the history of the world. That's right. That's right. Right now, my friends, we are seeing the signs, but the greatest sign is that Israel's back in the nation. And in 1948, they were scattered across the world for thousands of years. And God prophesied in the Old Testament and even in the book of Romans that he would bring them back to the land. And they're back. They became a nation in one day in 1948. That is one of the greatest signs to let us know that we are that terminal generation. What do I mean by that? We are going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hold on. Don't lose your faith. Go through what you're going through right now. But God's going to see you through. Some of you right now are having issues with your physical body. Some of you have mental issues. Some of you have spiritual issues. Some of you have relational issues. Some of you have financial issues. But I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that he could ever think and ask and hope for. God is the deliverer. Hang on, hallelujah, to the hand of God. Don't let him go. Don't let the enemy lie to you that it's too late, because you need to let the devil and remind him that it's already too late for you, that you will open up, God will open up the gates of hell and cast them into the bottomless pit, and there would be the lake of fire. Oh my gosh. Tell him of his future. Hallelujah, judgment, when he comes to you and he lies to you and he tells you that it's too late, that your children are on drugs, that your husband and wife just walked out on you and he's saying it's too late. You need to let him know that he's a liar and the father of lies and that there is judgment awaiting for him. Can I get an amen? God is saying to be strengthened and to hold on. We're living in the last days, my friends, and Jesus is about to return. Oh, yes, he is. He's about to return. Look at this. And when he does, it's going to be just like this. Let's go back here to the Word of God. Let's look at this. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. And look what he wrote. He wrote this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, my friends, comfort one another. Now, before we can ascend to the clouds, we cannot do this in this flesh and blood body. That's right. We can barely jump, 6 inches off the ground? That's right. We are here on this earth by the law of gravity. It's the law of gravity that keeps us from floating away. So something miraculous has to take place. The Bible says we need to be changed. And so the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, God will change us and give us a body just like His so that we can meet Him in the air. We will see Him face to face and He will whiz us away to the Father's house. That's right. Let's look at the Word of God to confirm what I'm saying. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, Paul wrote to them and wrote this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all die physically, but we shall all be changed. There it is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow. That's right. So the question that I want to impose upon you this evening, are you ready? Are you ready to be caught up? Are you ready to be raptured out of here? Are you ready that when Jesus comes and the angels blow the shofars and that we would be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye? The Bible says, in order to be ready, you must have a repentant heart. You must repent and recognize that Jesus is Lord of all, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus came to die for your sins. And then after you repent and confess Him and cry out to Him for forgiveness, then He applies the blood. And once He applies the blood, then He fills you with His Spirit. Once you're filled with His Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Him on the third day from the dead will be the same Spirit that will raise us up in the new body to be with Him in the clouds. So are you ready? Because if you are not ready, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow, my friends, are you ready? Are you ready? The depiction you just saw is a real similarity in what's going to take place around the world. The wannabe Christians who either were raised in the church, joined the church, never been born again, some were even wolves in sheep's clothing, and yet, they will be left behind. And those who've been born again, repented of their sins, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of God, will be caught up to be with the Lord. And so, here's the good news. Did you know the Bible has good news? This is why I'm here every Wednesday and Sunday mornings, to preach a message to you that there is hope for you. And the way that you can be raptured out of here, it's through a heart of repentance. The very first sermon that was preached 2,000 years ago is right here by the Apostle Peter. Let's look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Remission means forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, God loves us. But you may be watching right now. Somebody's watching right now who's never given their heart to the Lord, who's never cried out to God. Now, God is saying right now, He's saying by His grace, by His love, He's reaching out, that cry out to Him and ask God to search your heart. Ask God to save you. Ask God to bless you. Ask God to give you a heart to repent and a mind to be saved. And if you are, if God is tugging on your heart and He's drawing you and you feel something right now, that means God is there working to save you from your sin. And so, if you're there and you're watching, pray this prayer of confession. Now, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will save you. So pray this prayer with me and allow God to do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart in your head with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory to hell. Somebody just got saved. Someone just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, my friends, down below is our website address. Please log on to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And let me just say this. There you will find tools there. We'll plug you into a ministry if you're not part of a church. But the first thing we want to do if you're a new believer is give you a Bible. Give you a Bible that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we want to pray with you and point you to the right direction that God would raise you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Also, once again, I just want to be so thankful to all those who continue to bless the work of the ministry. Many of you continue to sow into this beautiful ministry that God has given us, and many of you have been blessed. That's right. I know we've been blessed, you've been blessed. And so we praise God for blessing Amazing Grace. And down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, it's time for me to sign off. I hope you were blessed with this message. I'm looking forward to gathering again with the saints Sunday morning at 10:30. We're going to have hopefully some wonderful worship, which I'm believing we will. And God will prepare a word for the body of Christ. And so allow me to send the benediction. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, it's time to say once again goodbye. On behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we want to say we love you. Can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. And so until then, take care and God bless you. Good night now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.